following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. It hadn't changed. We haven't taken the show on the road, although we've been considering doing such matters. I don't know. The thought of it would makes me a little nervous, to be honest with you, if we took the show out on the road. There's been some requests for us to do that, and we may do that at some point, and I don't know. There's a lot of things to consider. It's, you know, the ticket sales and all that other stuff, and we thought about maybe even trying it here in town, but Memphis is a tough town, man. It is a tough town. It's not as tough as other places, but it can be a tough town, especially for locals, you know? You know, guys like me would probably show up at a club and, you know, we'd long advertise that we were doing this, and then, you know, you'd get like, I don't know, like Bobby from accounting. Hey, how's it going? Hey, do the thing with the bro, man. You know, so you suck. It would be that, and I don't know if I could put myself through that. I don't know. I my hat's off to those who do, but nevertheless, you know. However, if I picked up and say I'm going to go to Little Rock and do a show there, I'd probably do pretty well. Or Nashville, maybe. Yeah, maybe so, because Nashvillians, they like Memphians. Even though there's a little bit of a rivalry, they like Memphis artists. So, you know, as such, there's a country music artist by the name of Dale Watson. He's true country. He really is. He's the real deal. And he's not that crap out of Nashville. That speaking of all that matters, he's really cool. And he's from Texas, as I mentioned. He's from Austin. And he left Nashville because he didn't like the crap that they were putting out over there. And he went to Austin. Now he's left Austin because he said Austin has sold itself out. It's crap. It's not the thing. He does play there still every once in a while. He's got a bunch of commitments in there. But he's moving to Memphis. Or has moved to Memphis. I think he's buying a place over not far from Graceland, really. So he's headed out that way, and I ran into him. I was flying to Texas from Memphis, and he was on my flight. And I introduced myself to him, and he, of course, he knew who I was, and I knew who he was, so it was kind of weird. We never met before, but, hey, I'm a fan. And he goes, hey, we never met before, but I'm a fan. So so it worked out pretty well, and I don't know. He and I chatted for a moment, and he's excited about being in Memphis. He really is. And, you know, now that there's a nonstop flight from Memphis to Austin, which works out, and it works out perfect for him. And, you know, he couldn't be more thrilled about it. So that's a pretty cool thing. It's way slick. So there. On another note here, before we get into the program this time out, I this was done at the first day of daylight savings. Lord of mercy, that lost of that 1 hour. You know, I was up late last night on that Saturday night, and I shouldn't have. And then of course, Sunday comes very much too quickly, an hour faster than it did last weekend. And of course, the wife was like, "Come on, we got to go. We're going to brunch. We got stuff to do. We got errands to run. We got things." And now I'm sitting here going, "Holy Jesus, where's the day gone?" And I'm going to be headed down to the studio here in a little while to go do the blue show, but. Lord have mercy, this ridiculous exercise of daylight savings time. The state of Florida this week said that they'd had enough, and so they had put in some legislation which was overwhelmingly approved by both houses of their state legislature. That it's got a silly name, the Sunshine Protection Act. I can need to protect it. But the idea here is, of course, Florida being Florida, the Sunshine State, their idea is that as soon as we go into daylight savings time, they're going to stay there. They're not going to come back at the end of it and move their clock back, which means that they're on the East Coast, right? So everybody's all lined up. But when the fall comes and they swap, everybody else swaps back, they're going to now be an hour off of the rest of the East Coast, and it'll be 2 hours off from here. That's not confusing at all. But this is the reason why, even though the state legislature has approved all of this and the governor there is expected to sign it, they cannot, I don't think, well, I mean, I think they could do it if they wanted to, but they still have to get some type of congressional approval, which is which is madness, really, you know, to have to drag Washington into it. But I think a lot of it is because of the commerce. You know, there has to be some wrangling that goes on, because there's half of Arizona or New Mexico does, or I think it's Arizona, half of it has daylight savings, the other half doesn't. It's nuts. So I don't know. I think it is a dumb exercise. What was somebody made a post about it, and they said that only a fool would take 2 inches off of the top of a blanket, sew it at the bottom, and say that they had a longer blanket. And that's, I guess, it's kind of the idea, because time technically is irrelevant as you set it to wherever it is you wanted to set it at. But yeah, I'm a little over the whole dark early business. I say we stick right to it right here. Just leave. I think we need the Sunshine Protection Act for where we are. It's silly. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I just live here. It's y'all's world. I just pay the rent. All right, kids. Today, coming around on this program, we sat down with couple of friends of mine at Radio Memphis, Mr. BJ Banks with the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, and Mr. Paul Crum, who is a great singer-songwriter himself. He performed several tunes for us. It's big fun, and it's cool. If you didn't hear it then, you're going to hear it now right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
BJ Banks is here from the Bartlett Songwriters
Alliance.
I don't know. I keep saying association. I don't know why that is.
No, Alliance means all of the songwriters.
It's everybody, yeah. It's everybody. And we've been talking for a while about bringing some artists in from time to time, and you've got one with us.
Oh, yeah, and he's quite prolific, man, I tell you what.
Well, apparently, because one of his fans has shown up in the chat room, Walton Walker is there.
He's in Texas, right?
Hey, Walt.
He's in Texas.
Hey,
Walt.
he was like, I can't see him, and then we adjusted the camera. But he says, I was just wondering where Paul's water was. So so they're looking at you. They're looking at you, Paul. Paul, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well, Rick.
Yeah, you came in with a guitar and some songs here, and you're, from my understanding, a prolific songwriter. I mean, how would you define prolific?
That means that I write more songs than some of my lazy ass friends.
He's looking at me. I know what he's doing.
Come on, BJ, step it up, buddy.
You're killing me.
Those songs they're not going to write themselves.
Oh man, I didn't know we were going to a business meeting.
Well, you know, it's all part of the fun. It's what you do.
I knew I was going to get abused by you when I got
there. Come on, it's not abuse. It's
more fun than it is.
Being a songwriter, I know that's really the art of it. It's not so much the performance, but it's the creation process for you, I would assume.
Yeah.
Are you like most that write lyrically and the music behind it, or sometimes you go back and forth, or?
That's always a difficult question to answer. You know, sometimes it comes at the same time, and sometimes I might have an idea, then I get the lyrics written and I scrap it all together. You know, scrap the melody.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Just look at something else because, you know, the phrasing might be different or whatnot. So, you know, there's no real form for me. I just approach it as it comes.
Whatever works, right?
Muse, yeah.
Is it one of those things, like, if you're working on something, I like this lick or this kind of the idea here, but it doesn't fit with the song, so I'm going to hang on to it and maybe put it into something else. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, most definitely. I got my phone is full of
like a lot of
partially
guys.
Finished songs, you know.
Yeah.
Lyrics here and there, but yeah, and you never know when it's going to come to you. I got a song I'm going to do in a minute that I was out running one day and got a rock in my shoe.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. One of my favorites. Got a hitchhiker air in your boot.
So,
yeah.
Like I say, it can come from anything.
So yeah, when we were talking off the air about, you know, the blues guys that come down here, and they always like to, they're very proud of the fact that they write from their own personal experiences. And I think a lot of songwriters, they
they take certain joy in that because they feel as though they're sort of opening themselves up a little bit to their audience. Is that how you write?
Most of the time. I mean, sometimes it's just stories, you know.
Yeah. An idea or something, yeah, that might turn a phrase.
I was in a bar one night in an open mic, and I saw a couple over in the corner that, you know, weren't really hooking up, but just having a conversation, and they were showing each other pictures of their grandkids on the phone.
Right.
The phone, you know,
right.
And I overheard a little bit of it, you know, of talking about their past, how wild they were in crazy in college, and, you know, and waiting tables to work their way through school and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
You know? So I just used that and wrote a song, or, you know, around.
You just form a story about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, yeah, well, that you can kind of make up it as you go along. Yeah.
So, well, you know, some of it comes from real life experience, and I'd say you never know.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, like our rock artists, like, oh no, this, we just dream this stuff up, you know. The same thing with a lot of country that's out there too. But what do you say we jump into a tune here? I mean, you got the thing in your lap. You wanna lay that one out? Is
sure,
that the one you want to do?
Here.
What's it called?
This is called the Riverbank.
The Riverbank.
Yeah,
it's also plugs my Riverbanks demo studio.
Oh, yeah. Riverbanks. I get it. I see what you did there.
I like the segue.
That's nice, yeah. See what happens when you take a little abuse in here?
So, yeah, you can slip me that 10.
There'll be no payola in here, man.
We rehearsed that.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. I've worked it out in the parking lot on the way in.
Anyway,
go ahead and knock it down.
Flows into the sea somewhere. They say about 300 miles down south of here. Sometimes I think I'd like to follow it on down just to see what lies beyond this hellhole of a town. Chill in the air and the sky's colored gray. Same color as the river flowing past today. It's the sameness of the same, a monotonous tone. Painting with a palette that just dabs a monochrome. I could leave tomorrow, Lord, I think I've had enough. Gas up my car, fill the trunk up with my stuff. Quit my job with one day notice. And the landlord my key. But I stare out at this river, and I know what's stopping me. It comes down to the same reason. Every time I know, all it takes is you telling me you hate to see me go. I'm tired of driving on these same old worn-out streets. Like my cars memorize them, and all my days repeat. My route never varies, and my mind's growing numb. A redundancy of living I just can't overcome. You pull me like a magnet, the attraction stays so strong. Every time I break free, it just ends up feeling wrong. You tell me I'm just restless, and I'm right where I belong. And I'm right back on this riverbank, singing this same song. We sit up on the bluff and watch a Foley River barge fight its way against the current in a slow, half-hearted charge. Is my life like this old river? Am I just searching metaphors, running uphill to do battle, or to retreating like before? If I ever find a will to try for something new, I run the risk of never finding anyone like you. You're the only thing that keeps me here, the reason I have stayed. One pro against a dozen cons, but somehow it outweighs. I could leave tomorrow.
come on, Lord, you know I've had enough. Gas up my car, fill the trunk up with my stuff. And my job with one day notice, hand the landlord my key. But I stare out at this river, and I know what's stopping me. It comes down to the same reason. Every time I know, all it takes is you telling me you hate to see me go.
Fantastic. Yeah. Man, that is awesome. All of that from a rock in your shoe?
No, no, that's a different song.
Well, still, there's a lot there. You're saying quite a bit in that. Obviously you've been playing guitar most of your life, I would assume. Is this something you picked up on, you know, along the way as a kid?
Since I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a garage band by the time I was eighth grade.
Hell yeah, that's what you
what
do.
What was that band that you said you were in?
I've been a lot of them. Yeah. But it's
you played down at Stage Step, that you was telling me down
there. Oh, yeah. Now that, well, yeah. Who hasn't, really?
Yeah.
If you're a musician in Memphis, you've got to have some stage time on the stage stop, you
Miller's
know.
Miller's Cave, used to play a pretty regular gig over at Miller's Cave
those
days.
Yeah. So you're a Memphian native, I assume?
No, actually, I grew up in Missouri Boot Hill.
Oh, well, not far, yeah.
But, you know, we were very much in tune with what was going on in Memphis. You know, my band played on George Klein show.
Oh, yeah.
Party, you know, and, so, you know, we got Memphis TV, Press Cemetery. You
know, oh, sure.
So I kept up with the Memphis music scene even when I was a kid, you know.
Got down here when you could, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had seven siblings, and at one time, for one summer, when I got out of high school, all eight of us lived in Fraser.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't last long, but it all came off the farm and headed to the city.
Well, that's an often repeated scenario, I think, in the history of Memphis music, is that a lot of people, when they get here, this is where they stay. You know, there's something about the area. And I've often asked a lot of guys, especially the ones that worked over at Stax for a bit or wherever, or even if recorded over at Sun in its day, that, you know, what defines Memphis music to you? And it's the people. It's not just in the water. It's the people.
It's the eclectic.
The eclectic
song.
Nature. Yeah.
You know, because there is such a variety here. You go over to other places we won't mention. It's a couple hours away.
Those people. I know where you're talking about.
Just down the road. Not implying anything.
I know. But we've often made those remarks as well here. I mean, it's not to say that there's not any good stuff that comes.
No,
surely there are.
Value, but the fact that it's not just blues, it's not just old, it's not just a couple of people. Right. It is just everybody has got music going on here.
And it's such a, like you're saying, it's a wide variety of things, and it's, you know, we all like to stick to our roots to a certain extent, but we also like to branch out from that, you know.
Sure.
You know, and that's, and you're certainly able to accomplish that. I could hear a lot of things in there. Who were your influences musically?
Wow.
I would think Dylan would have to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, Dylan for sure. Of course, you know, the Beatles.
Yeah, I was gonna say George Harrison.
I love listening to Steely Dan.
Oh, I do too.
That's my favorite band.
Yeah.
John Prine.
Yeah.
You know, Kris Kristofferson, all those the great writers from the 70s and 80s. Willis Allen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
you're
I can.
Not showing our age or nothing. You
know? No, not at all. No. He's an old soul, you see. Very young man.
Started early.
That's the best time to start. Before we take a break, Paul, how about another tune?
Okay.
But you know his last name, Paul Crum.
Paul Crum.
Yeah.
Paul, are you playing any gigs on the regular? Are you looking to get booked? Are you're looking to record a record?
Yeah, I'm looking to get booked, and I am working on a CD this year.
You're also working
I've
with
got some good. People really, really on my butt about getting the CD out, you know. And I'm
active with the Memphis Songwriters Association as
right.
well.
Yeah.
I play down at Mark's Parcells place.
Yes, South Main Sounds. South Main yeah.
Sounds, great venue. For
yeah, Mark's a great guy.
He's a gift to the songwriting community in Memphis for sure.
He found his passion with that early, and he just has really embraced it and has done so much good with all of that.
Yeah,
I'm
for sure.
Really happy about it.
I play at Old Witten Tavern sometimes
on
Wednesday nights. Matter of fact, Bob and Susie Sally said to tell you hello.
Yes, I know them. Yes. Yeah,
and, and Ernstine and Hazel's play a lot at Midtown Crossing Grill. So, you know.
But you're playing with Lisa.
Yeah, I play bass in Midtown Queer.
Lisa Michaels, yes. Yeah. Yes, I know Lisa.
Yeah, okay. I play bass in her band.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, she's a great songwriter as well.
That's a three-piece?
Yeah, we're three-piece, we're four-piece sometimes.
It just, but mostly, you know, for the
most part. Which way the wind is blowing, I guess.
Yeah. We got a gig coming up. We're going to have a cellist.
Well, what gig is that?
Again, I think it's on March.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
March 30th, Condemonium down at the Playhouse on the Square.
Oh, that's a great spot.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a lot of fun.
So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, cool.
But anyway, yeah.
What time is that going to be?
Do what?
You know what time that is?
It's not until the end of the month, man.
Yeah.
They're going to pull out their calendars. Oh, I got to be there at 8:00. You know. We'll get to all of that.
You have no mercy.
All right.
I'm ruthless.
But anyway, this is the Rock in My Shoes.
Oh, I love
this. Oh, this is okay. There we go.
First one I love. Like, and love the heck out of this.
Yeah, there you go.
The heck out of it,
I tell you.
Got a rock in my shoe, it's got me thinking of you, as peculiar as that might sound. You see, I'm walking your way, I'll be there later today, and nothing's gonna slow me down. It's just a small tiny stone, I think I'll leave it alone, 'cause I don't have a minute to spare. I got a rock in my shoe, and I'm thinking of you, and all the tender moments we'll share. Everything that I do, well, it reminds me of you, and nothing in my world is quite the same. I see your face in the clouds, I hear your voice in the wind, like you are gently calling my name. With every step I travel, there's that little chunk of gravel, but I will never break my stride. I got a rock in my shoe, but until I'm with you, I will bring it along for the ride. Well, sometimes it's by my toes, sometimes it's by my heel, sometimes I feel it pressed against my arch. Sometimes I don't know where it goes, and I can barely feel it, so I think I'll just continue on my march. I got a rock in my shoe, what do you think I should do? Well, I suppose I could stop and take a break. Get rid of that rock, remove my shoe and my sock, and give them both a really good shake. But every moment I lose, this time that I could be with you, I think I'll just be on my way. I got a rock in my shoe, if it's all the same to you, I'm gonna let it stay there all day. Now storm clouds gather, it could start to rain, or lightning could strike me through and through. Could snow 4 feet, I could be pelted with sleet, but nothing's gonna keep me from you. There's a rock in my shoe, and I'm wondering who could understand why I am not annoyed. How I could tolerate such an uncomfortable state, and one that I could easily avoid. Well, as I tried to explain, neither wind nor the rain could keep me from the love that I have found. I got a rock in my shoe on my way to see you, and nothing's gonna slow me down. I got a rock in my shoe on my way to see you, and nothing's gonna slow me down.
Nice. Yeah. Paul Crum, ladies and gentlemen, here in the midst of the Nooner. Walton said, sounds great, both guitar and voice. So you got a fan.
Appreciate it, Walt. Walt's a good songwriter too.
Well, but he's down in Texas. He's not doing us any good down there. You know,
move down there to be near his daughter. But we miss him. Hope he's going to move back someday. You'll come to this census sooner or later.
Walt is your.
He's my like half-assed nephew. Once removed.
We've all got those people in our tree. I know. I assume he's in Austin.
No, he's in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah, he's from
You're
Houston.
You're going to get a text any second now over that. You know that.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on.
But, yeah, he moved up here for a while to watch out for his dad, who is my brother-in-law.
I got gotcha. You. I got gotcha. You.
After he passed, he moved back down to Dallas to be with his daughter.
Yeah.
Well, about,
it's late. He was part of the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, look at you got to work that thing, man. Yeah. BJ Banks is here in the studio from the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, and Mr. Paul Crum is in here as well, but apparently partners in crime of some sort.
No, we haven't done any crimes yet that we know of.
No, well, no, not yet. No, no, not at all. That's not allowed. No butchering of music.
At least no felonies.
No felonies. Maybe a misdemeanor here and there, but who cares? Teresa is in the room. She says, hello, Paul.
Hey, Teresa. Hey, Teresa, if it's the Teresa that I'm thinking of.
Goldsby?
Yeah, her husband's played down here before with the Lizard Kings.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That makes
sense.
We're
all related somewhere.
Yeah.
It's the music scene in this town, as you know, is about as incestuous as a Kentucky family. It's crazy. Not to disparage our friends in the North, but. There is that. BJ, you said you've got a few things that are coming up. I want to make sure that everybody's kind of hip to what's happening. So
every month we have the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance Workshop.
Yeah.
And that's at Singleton Community Center.
Yeah.
Over in Bartlett.
Over in Bartlett. Bartlett. Yeah.
At 7266 3rd Road, I think it is.
7266 3rd Road.
Yeah.
In Bartlett.
And it's free. It's 7 to 8:30 the first Tuesday of every month. Next one is actually on my birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bring cake and plenty of liquor.
No, bring beer.
Bring beer.
you can't drink there.
No, but you could bring it and have it later.
Ed. Put it in my truck.
Yeah, put it in the truck. You'll have a cooler full of ice. It'll be ready.
Back open.
And just deposit it here. It's your fee.
But yeah, we're doing that, and we have a showcase that we're going to be doing down at Mark Parcells at 5:50, April 21st.
It's on South Main, right?
Yeah, on Saturday night. It's somewhere going to start somewhere around 7 o'clock.
Right.
Going to have a backup band, which is cool. Alan Rankin, I don't know if you know Alan Rankin.
I do, yes.
Alan's going to be the drummer.
Yes.
We have Paul's going to do the bass. I think, is Mark going to do the guitar? More than likely.
More than likely. We're going to have a couple of new young songwriters that have never performed in our showcases before.
So that'll be
Williams.
Fun. Yeah. When is that, in April?
April 21st.
April 21st at South Main Sound. All of that stuff, of course, is up on your
website,
social on your website.
BartlettSongwriters.com.
BartlettSongwriters.com. Facebook.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. What about you, Paul? Are you out there dabbling in the social media?
Yeah. Of course, I'm on Facebook.
You had a video.
I've got working on a YouTube channel.
Oh, good for you.
And got one or two songs up on SoundCloud. I'm working on that. You know, it's something that I need to devote some attention to.
Yeah, the internet is such as
whippersnappers.
It's like the Wild West out there.
Hard to find.
Crack the whip and, you know, beat everybody down and say, look at my stuff. You know, that's kind of what it is.
You did a song on YouTube.
Well, I write a lot of holiday songs.
Yeah,
for some odd reason.
Hey, there's a niche for it. You got to fill it, man.
Yeah,
or an itch.
You know.
Yeah, or an itch.
My wife tells me that we're gonna remake Holiday Inn. You know, the old Bing Crosby.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Berlin songs and stuff. So anyway, this one, this is. When speaking of beer, it's about St. Patrick's Day, since that's coming up.
Yeah, it'll be here in 17 days.
You are always so musically correct, aren't you? And seasonally?
Well, you know.
That's how you work it, man.
I had a song for Washington's birthday, actually.
I know.
You have anything for Arbor Day? Or
I've got one for...
I was only kidding, Paul.
I do have one for seasonal allergies.
Oh, well, there you go. That works.
I'll be back in April, and I'll play... It's called April in Memphis, you know.
The Ragweed Rag?
Yeah, that's something like that.
Yeah. You can take that. I just came up with that.
I bought so much Sudafed.
And by tonight, he'll have that written.
Yeah, probably on the way home. Yeah.
But anyway, this is, you say, since it's internet, we can pretty much do anything. So.
Do whatever, say whatever you want.
Yeah, all right. This is called Drinking Green Beer.
All right.
My dear mother, she always told me, our ancestry should inspire us. So naturally I took that to mean I should drink because I'm Irish. So when St. Patrick's Day is upon us, it's a cause for a big celebration. But oh dear me, I couldn't believe it affected my urination. Now I've never been one to turn down a pint. I'm likely to drink them all. And I intended to visit each bar on the list at last night's annual pub crawl to enjoy a cold libation. At each stop was my goal, but I never expected to see what I saw when I peered in the toilet bowl. St. Patrick's Day is coming gone. The calendar says March 18. But what a surprise to my Irish eyes to see that I'm still peeing green. So I dined on corned beef and cabbage. And though some may consider it risky to augment the consumption of all that green beer with a shot of good Irish whiskey, but I stayed on my feet all evening, so it didn't seem to matter. No anticipation of this coloration or the effect it had on me bladder. St. Patrick's Day is come and gone. The calendar says March 18. But what a surprise to my Irish eyes to see that I'm still peeing green. Now I went to bed last night smiling, a little sad that the party was over. But I had no inkling that my morning tinkling would be the color of shamrocks and clover. Now I don't know how else to describe it. I'm sorry if my language is crass. Perhaps I need a day to recover. Until this condition has passed, I'll be certain to drink lots of water until all is nice and clear. And when St. Patty's Day rolls around again, maybe cut back on all that green beer. St. Patrick's Day is coming and gone. The calendar says March 18, but what a surprise in my Irish eyes to see that I'm still peeing green. Yeah, what a surprise to my Irish eyes to see that I'm still peeing green.
That's horrifying. Beautiful, but horrifying.
It paints.
It does. It paints a very vivid image there. True Irish beer, in my estimation, is one you can't see through the glass. You know, that's the kind of that green beer is certainly not it. But no, that's obviously something from experience, I would say there, Paul.
Well, we'll just speak no more.
We'll just let that just lay right there and move along.
Glass of wine. We're not talking about beer.
Paul, you are. I assume you're on social media online. You have a website.
I do. That's paulgrum.com.
Yeah, that's simple.
Yeah, no.
Do you have any records for sale or?
Not yet.
Oh, come on, man.
Soon to come.
I know working in a studio or getting to that point is such an arduous task. I mean, it's just like there's so much. It feels like it's just so much damn labor to it. But yeah, it could be a fun time, but it's just getting there and getting it done and then going through all of that headache.
Yeah.
Well, you got a studio here.
I do, yeah.
But it's sometimes it's going to be fun and sometimes it's going to be just like hard-ass work.
I've seen both of it, and it's sometimes it just kind of just – it just happens. Mm-hmm. And then other times it's like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, Paul's worked in the studio with me a little bit on on my little demo thing.
Yeah.
It's not a big blown-out thing, but he was very much a pleasure to work with.
You know?
Then you get the other, there's some people come in there and say, oh, my God, my tooth hurts. I'd rather have that pulled than do this.
Then go back into the studio. Yeah. There's a certain thing about it. At least
you still got to do it.
You still got to do it. You know, there's a thing about, you can go out on stage in front of a group of people and perform flawlessly.
Yeah.
And then those same people would get into a studio when it's just you and an engineer, and you just freak out. That's where you can make mistakes, you know?
Yeah, because you don't hear yourself so much out there. You're like, I'm do a shot here and a beer there and
right.
To somebody out there, you know, because you're redirecting.
You can recreate that, you know. But, I mean, how much out of the audience are you feeding from when you perform, or are you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely dig it when people are listening, you know. And that's the great thing we were talking about, South Main Sounds, you know, as compared to, like, playing an open mic where there's a lot of dishes rattling and people playing pool and talking.
You become background noise.
Yeah, they're having a good time. But for a songwriter, you know, you really appreciate it when folks listen. And you get that positive feedback. So that's why the listening rooms like South Main Sounds are so great.
Because you are the center of that attention for that moment.
Yeah, and people are there to listen to songwriters.
They're here to hear the song, you know, hear what you're saying in the words, right. The words, the whole feel of it.
It's not just background music, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, pretty cool couple of words here. Oh, I'm going to break this round over here at the pool table, you know. It doesn't cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's especially as you're trying to work these tunes in front of a crowd and because the song, just because it's written and you've kind of polished it enough to get it out on stage, doesn't mean it's going to stay in that state. You know, it's going to mature, it's going to change, your playing style is going to change. You might encounter a vibe that you might want to play a little bit differently and you like it. So these songs, they do grow up and they go out there. And that's another problem with recording, is that once you've recorded it, that's it. That's the permanent record and out it goes. And then as you're playing out there and you realize these changes are starting to happen, it's like, man, that is not the song I recorded.
Right.
What is the trick to going to the studio, though? There's the question. From live play to a studio, what is the trick?
Bring the live rig to the studio. I mean, to the gig and record a live record.
Prepping.
Yeah.
Man, if you ain't got your song prepped.
Oh, if you don't have your shit together, don't even bother coming into the studio. You really have to. You know, if you're being charged by the hour, be rehearsed, be ready, come in, lay it down comfortably.
You did that well a lot of times.
Most definitely.
Right. You know, a couple of takes, maybe a third if you need it, you know, and then move along.
I think Paul only did like two takes on some of it.
That's all you need. It's not very complicated. Paul, how about another tune?
Okay, all right. I don't know what to say about this one.
How about the title?
It speaks for itself, huh, Paul?
Yeah, it probably pretty much does. I'm not big on, like, songwriting competitions, but I did enter this one in the MSA last year and actually got to the finals with it.
So, oh, my.
So, yeah. I guess this is one of my greatest hits.
The greatest hits that never got recorded is right. To be on the new record. Yeah.
When you go tired and weary of me saying that I love you, I will learn another language to speak. Je t'aime like a bold French lover, or translated to the ancient Greek. If I told you every hour, if I said it every minute, if you heard it every second of the day, I would be compelled to completely reinvent it so you could hear it in a brand new way. I speak the language of romance, like in the south of France, in an accent like Marie Chevalier. I'll say it in Swahili that I really, really, really wanna be with you night and day. Yeah, I'd be smooth as satin, I could brush up on my Latin like Caesar to Cleopatra the Queen. And you would soon discover I'm your multilingual lover, my words would never sound routine. Now I'm no linguist, I'm not clever or distinguished, but I will study hard for years. Find 1,000 ways to convey my affection and whisper them all in your ear. Would it make you feel all
all giddish if I said to you in Yiddish, Ich hab dir, my pretty, I might habla Espanol and tell you Tamo, as they might say it in Mexico City. I could travel to Tibet and wear a funny hat and climb atop the Himalayas, so I could shout it from above that you're the one I love, in all the different ways I could say to you. Now I'm no linguist, I'm not clever or distinguished, but I will study hard for years to find a thousand ways to convey my affection and whisper them all in your ear. I could learn to speak Burmese or even Japanese if it would keep you interested in me. I could flirt with you in Kurdish, say sweet things in Turkish, and tease you in Portuguese. I never want to bore you, cause you know how I adore you. I'll even whisper in your dreams, and you will soon discover I'm your multilingual lover. My words would never sound routine. Yeah, you will soon discover I'm your multilingual lover. My words would never sound routine.
Yeah, you're right. It speaks for itself. Got inspired by something, for sure.
I'm proudest of that song because I found a phrase to rhyme with Himalayas.
Yes.
There's always a mission somewhere.
There's always a mission. Because you know that first line is like, okay, all right, this is a perfect spin, but I got to find something that's going to work here, you know.
What inspired you? Were you walking around and you had this Himalayas in your head?
No,
I don't know.
I need to
rhyme something with that.
I guess. You know, how would that work? I don't know. I
tried to learn some Spanish, you know, and I guess it sort of came out of that.
Google Translate can be your buddy there, Paul.
I know. It helps me a lot.
Yeah, I know. We got time for one more if you want to lay something out there for us, and then we'll steer this off into another direction.
Okay, well. This one sort of came from life experience, and people like to sing along with this in the bar and whatnot. My wife.
Is this a drinking song?
I don't have it here.
Is it? Oh, well, let's not talk about it.
You'll have to go see a show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll create another one that came out of life experience. Okay.
Also about drinking, I would assume.
Oh, no. He's trying to keep it clean.
Yeah, well.
you know, it doesn't always work, though.
Oh, come on. You guys are entertainers. I know how it is. You gotta swim in that well before you can, you know, move along.
I remember what entertaining was. It's a long time
you ago. Still do it, man. I'm entertained. I'm entertained with your presence in the room.
Oh, God. I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Hey, you guys talk for a minute, because I'm going to grab this song.
Well, that's quite all right.
It's real professional.
No, this is good. As long as we have advertisements going on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because we were going to tell you, what is it that he's got a day gig, right?
Yeah, he has a print shop, man, and it's just incredible.
Yeah? What's it called? Paul's Prints?
No. I'm going to let him tell you
where
it's located, because I want him to plug his place, because I always mess it up.
Oh, well, okay. So, well, but he does T-shirts and stickers.
Oh,
and
no,
like
he
that.
Has a great printing company. He prints all our flyers for... the workshop?
Yeah, for the workshops that come.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it does a great job. Seriously professional.
Yeah.
He does business cards for, Jason.
Yeah.
And myself and a lot of other musicians.
Right.
So, I mean, and he's very detailed. And you don't want to go to the
The big chains, the big box stores?
Yeah.
Yeah, or the ones that are online? Yes.
Yeah. You really like his stuff. I mean, I know that's quite a bit of plug, but it's
it's important to support local businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those that are around here in the Memphis area, and you're looking for that kind of stuff, we'll figure out what it's called when he comes
in.
It's
Bart Art Printing and
Bart design. Art. Yeah.
But he'll tell you
clever
the details. It's real nice.
That's
him,
good.
Him and his wife run it. It's just a great place. But we got the songwriting thing going on. I got a 15-year-old Sarah Williams I'm going to bring in here.
Just
a little shiny little penny, just a wonderful young lady.
That's good. We'll get her good and fully corrupted by bringing her down into here.
Oh, no. Dad will be here.
Going, no, that's even better.
Dad said, you will not.
He'll meet that hanging on the wall, you see, you know, the inflatable.
It is what it is.
It's, you know, you're never too young to really get exposed to what radio can be, you know.
You know, you're going to see that stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, somewhere along the line.
And it goes back to this business, you know, it's made of circus animals. I'm fairly convinced of it. The Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, they meet, you say first Tuesday, is that right?
Of every month.
First Tuesday of every month.
Singleton Community Center, yeah. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, it's free, come out there and bring a song or...
Bring a song, come and learn something, meet some other songwriters.
It's a little networking opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you go memorize it there, Paul?
No, hey, I know if I tried to sing it...
You'll mess it up,
so
right?
I'll bring it back.
But if you had it here, you'd probably do it with your eyes closed.
He did this so he'd come back a second time.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, right. But this is one. This is a love song about my truck.
That's another good one. This is a classic.
Everything in here has been good.
This is a classic.
A love song about your truck.
Yeah. Really what happened here is my truck hadn't had air conditioning for a few years, and my wife just got entirely fed up with it, and told me I had to take it to the shop and
get it fixed, right?
Yeah. You know, well, long story short, they charged me $113 to tell me that it would cost about $1,500 to fix my
AC. I got you.
So
yeah.
My truck still has
no air conditioning. Yeah.
Well, my truck has no AC. It's as hot as it can be, at least in the month of July. Takes a half roll of duct tape just to hold up the tailgate, and the other half to keep my seat dry. And I have to pump the brakes and the front end to shake if I drive it above 55. But despite some bad luck, it's a pretty good truck. We're both happy to still be alive. It's a 1988. And it was running just great when I bought it in 1999. After all of these years, it still gets me where I want to go, at least most of the time. As a matter of fact, I keep a chain in the back. I might call you if I need a tow. And if you agree to come rescue me, you're a pretty good friend, I know. Well, the paint could be slicker. I just add a bumper sticker wherever the rust is coming through. So it's easy to note just who won my vote, clear back to 2002. And it still doesn't smoke much, but it could use a new clutch, though the engine has somehow survived. Despite some bad luck, it's a pretty good truck. We're both happy and still be alive. So I got a friend named Rock Collins, that first time I ever played this song, he was just coming back from surviving a heart attack. And he really identified with this song, you know. So I guess there's some metaphors that he can relate to in here. He made me give him the lyrics and said he put them up on his refrigerator. So this is the metaphorical verse, okay? Through thick and through thin, an oil change now and then, overlooking some dings and some dents. After all of this while, we've run up some miles and could use a little maintenance. But our motor still runs, we're still having fun. I hope we've got a few miles to drive. But despite some bad luck, it's a pretty good truck. We're both happy to still be alive. Yeah, despite some bad luck, it's a pretty good truck. We're both happy to still be alive.
That's brilliant. Yes. Your rhyming ability, I was quite pleased to hear that there was another word that rhymes with truck that you didn't go with, and that would have been your wife's version, I think.
You could do whatever you want.
You can always add more verses to that one.
This is true.
It's true. Paul Crum, ladies and gentlemen, online, paulcrum.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
And tell them the print
shop. Yeah, your print shop. What's
it's the day gig. Bartlett Art Printing and Graphic Design. It's a mom and pop shop in the truest sense of the word. It's me and my wife, Pat.
Yeah.
We're April 1st. We'll be there in 19 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah,
so
it's over on Elmore Park.
Elmore Park, near the post office in the heart of beautiful downtown Bartlett. And, you know, we pretty much do anything you can put your name on. We try to cater to the small business type, the nonprofits.
Yeah, I need your card when you get out of here.
You do a lot of printing for the city, too.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Those of you in the greater Memphis area need some printing work to get done, go see Paul. Yeah. How about that?
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Not a problem.
I didn't expect, you know, a commercial.
Well, you know. Anymore, I'd have to send you an invoice, but yeah, it's quite all right. And of course, Mr. BJ Banks with the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, bartlettsongwriters.com, and on social media as well. And stay tuned to what's up and what's down and all that's going on over there. So
yeah, well, we've got that. We've got the April 21st at 550 South Main with Mark Parcell down there doing a showcase. He's been asking for a while. So bring the Bartlett Songwriters down and do a showcase. And
perfect.
We have a backup band, guys who just really love songwriting.
So you got a house band you can come in and work with.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We learn their song, and it's all original.
Yeah.
And we try to make them really have this exciting experience on stage for those who've never had.
Yeah, they've never played with a band before. They get that.
Any would-be songwriters listening, that's something we do. If you're just a lyricist, we'll put your songs to melodies. We've done that as an exercise.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, to help.
That's what's really cool. I mean, if you can imagine writing some lyrics and then hearing them perform two, three, four different ways, you know?
Right.
That's got to be a cool thing, I would think. You know? So we've done that with some of our writers, and it's a lot of fun.
That's great. It's a cool thing from beginning songwriters to even advanced writers, you know, go get involved
in next time, I wanted to bring that I'd Rather Be Your Dog song, because we had a project in there that said write from the animal's perspective about the human being.
Ah, yeah.
And
there it was.
Of course, sarcasm hit the song for Paul over there.
Yeah, I probably took a rather perverted approach.
Yes, you did. And it was great. It was great.
It's just what I do.
Hey, you know, it's the way it works, man. Whatever turns the crank. I got you. All right, guys, thank you so much for coming
in.
Anytime you want to come in, stop in, say hey to us.
Yeah. We're going to try to make this as regular as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
this is all new to us, so we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Tread the waters
for a bit. Thanks, guys.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Cedric Burnside will be here, but I guess one of his brothers in arms, Mr. Trenton Ayres, is here in the room. How much of your playing is anything like your father?
How much do I play with?
Like your style? I mean, you must have pulled something out of that, right?
Oh, when I want to. I mean,
when I want to. I love this guy. He's awesome.
I know. But for real, though, because, you know, playing with him is like a friend of mine. He's my friend, a jester. He know my playing real well. And he was at the house. And I'm playing with my father. And playing with my father is a totally different. Like, I can go pretty much play with a lot of people and don't have to think twice about it.
Yeah, yeah.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, buddy, there you go. BJ Banks, Paul Crum from Radioland. That was great fun. You can learn more about the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance if you're in the Memphis area. They've got a thing that they do every month, and you heard all the details there. And you just go on BartlettSongwritersAlliance.com or online. I think it's BartlettSongwriters.com, and then you can of course find them on social media too. So if you want to get involved, it's open. It's free. It's open to everybody. So go in and do it for those of you here in the Memphis area. For those of you that are not in the Memphis area, come on into Memphis sometime. We'll pop by the studio. We'll we'll have a cup of coffee and we'll have a tour. I don't do that. I may not be there. Right. So on that, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. I got to get out of here. Daylight's a wasting. Got to go. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, please stop shooting each other. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.